This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. The 60th Annual Tony Awards are presented tonight at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. The winners will be people whose names appear in the front of the playbill, actors, writers, directors, designers. But hundreds of other people with names listed in the back of playbill have essential roles on the Broadway scene. Jeff London went backstage at several of this year's Tony Award-nominated shows to meet some of them.
Okay, you're the Lincoln Center Theater. You've scheduled a revival of Clifford Odette's searing Depression-era family drama, Awake and Sing, and the script calls for a scraggly poodle to wander on stage, twice, and jump into a character's lap. Who are you gonna call?
My name is Bill Berlone. I'm a theatrical animal trainer.
Bill Berlone got his break at age 19 when he rescued a mutt from a Connecticut dog pound and trained him to be Sandy in the very first production of Annie.
All the animals that I've trained over the last 30 years are shelter animals, whether it's dogs, cats, even the rats from The Woman in White. There is a rat rescue group of New York, which I got these rats through. I use rescued animals to show that these animals are useful members of society and hopefully encourage people to adopt.
And Berlone says Awake and Sing's cast, which includes Ben Gazzara, Mark Ruffalo, and Lauren Ambrose, have adopted the onstage poodle into their offstage hearts.
We came in and spent literally 2 weeks just letting the cast get familiar with the dog. His name is Barney. He's a poodle I rescued about 5 years ago. You know, becoming friendly so that when he comes out on stage, he's very relaxed. And part of the ritual every night is that Barney goes to everyone's dressing room, you know, and gets a cookie from everybody. So he's really become the family dog.
Berlone says Barney's day-to-day life, appearing in a show that's up for 8 Tony Awards, by the way, isn't much different from a working New York actor.
Barney is living in Brooklyn with my trainer, Rob Cox. He sleeps. You know, we keep him rested. He has a normal life. He goes for a walk 3 times a day. Then he gets on the subway, comes and does the show, and has this wonderful experience.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes.
The Pajama Game at the Roundabout Theater is up for 9 awards, including Best Costumes in a Musical. The person in charge of making sure those 125 costumes are in tip-top shape and on the right actors is Susan Fallon, the show's wardrobe supervisor. She oversees a staff of dressers and day workers who clean and repair the costumes in a little basement rabbit warren filled with bins of buttons, zippers, and fabrics. Fallon also works as a dresser on the show for Harry Connick Jr. Sometimes she has to do something called a quick change, where one costume comes off and another goes on in the blink of an eye.
We have to do it on stairs, and it's probably a 30-second change. It's after the small talk scene, and he runs down a half of a set of stairs. So we're changing him out of shoes, trousers, a belt, a shirt, and a tie into another set on stairs. There's a dresser in front of him, and I'm behind him. And it's rather precarious, I have to say, but fun.
I don't want to talk small talk.
Fallon often has to make other kinds of quick changes. When her phone rings, she jumps to attention.
This is Fallon. Oh, hi. Hi, what's up? She is. Okay, we'll rock and roll then. Bye. Well, there, it's 5:45. The show's at 8 o'clock, and we just got a call that we have an understudy going on tonight.
This is my once-a-year day.
Understudies are invisible. That is, until they get the panicky phone call to go on at a moment's notice. Leroy McLean understudies 3 roles in The History Boys, the London import about public school education, which is up for 7 Tony Awards, including Best Play. He and the other understudies rehearse once a week, but appear on stage 8 times a week, playing minor roles and moving the set.
And then we get to take a bow at the end, which is great. So because of that, if it were a situation in which we only just kind of had to sign in and then just kind of wait in the green room until after our character's last scene has started and then go home, I don't think we would have really necessarily bonded as well with the cast as we have.
McLean says the understudies and the cast frequently go out for drinks after the show. And it was following a night of carousing that he got the stage manager's call.
Came out of the shower, still not quite awake. Oh, I had a message on my phone. Picked up, and it's Charlie Underhill. Oh, you know, Russell Tovey is sick. You're going to have to go on for the matinee, which at that time was like in an hour. And so I panicked and I screamed. And got myself together, then got another message saying, oh, well, you don't have to go on for the matinee, but you'll probably have to go on for the evening. So that made it a little less nerve-wracking. And then it was a surreal experience doing that evening show, you know. It's just kind of like, okay, you know, I'm on stage with people I've never acted with before, and it's just sink or swim. And luckily I stayed afloat.
The Lieutenant of Inishmore is up for 5 Tony Awards, including Best Play. It's a bloody comedy about Irish terrorists. That's right, a comedy. As a matter of fact, the 5 gallons of stage blood splattered on the set and actors and the number of guns fired make this play something akin to a live-action Quentin Tarantino film. Anne-Marie Rodebaugh is head of the props department. One of her jobs is to mix the blood, which kind of smells like Reese's Pieces.
There's a lot of chocolate in the blood. A lot of chocolate and peanut butter.
There's blood everywhere. It shoots out of little compressed air cannons hidden in pieces of furniture on the set. And after every show, that set has to be cleaned up. Even before the audience is filed out, Rodebaugh and her crew files on stage with hoses, buckets, and mops.
Almost every night we walk out and they start clapping, and a lot of them stick around at the end and they're like, how do you do it? How long does it take? And all these questions, they're all very interested in it. And there's actually 5 of us that clean up, but it takes all of us about 2 hours to clean up. So a 2-show day makes for a long day. And an hour and a half preset before.
Backstage at the Lieutenant of Inishmore is a rather gruesome sight. There are lots of plastic human body parts and even furry animals that are caught up in the stage violence.
The dead cats are over here. This is the one in the opening scene. It's a big cavity out of that so that the blood can be filled in that cavity and the brain plops out as he twists his head. It took a lot of practice, a lot of rehearsals to get the perfect little plop. You know, we tried a lot of different fruits to try to get the right plop for the brain. So,
and what is the brain made of now?
It's actually a peach. It's peach halves, so they seem to like that the best. That has the best plop.
Rodebaugh says as the Tony Awards are going on tonight, she and her crew will be cleaning the blood off the stage of the Lyceum Theater.
We keep joking that they should have the best special effects. We should win. The best blood on Broadway. That should be the next award they give out.
The Tony Awards will be broadcast on CBS this evening from 8 to 11 p.m. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
For pictures, audio, and additional interviews with Broadway's backstage stars, including the music director of The Drowsy Chaperone, which is up for 13 Tonys, go to npr.org.